This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Chronicle-Telegram, and you can read all of his work at brownszone.com. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Scotty.
What's going on, guys?
So I'm on, and Dan, I don't mean this for a ding. I was on a show last night with a guy named Jordy Mack who does a lot of stuff nationally.
Ding.
And he mainly wanted to talk Cavs, but he said, hey, I've got you here, I got to bug you about the Browns a little bit. And I said, you know, everybody does, right? And so we talked quarterback and everything else. And then he said, if the season's starting today, who's your starting quarterback? I said Kenny Pickett, and his jaw, I heard it hit the desk. And he said, Kenny Pickett, are you serious? And I said, yeah. And he thought it was Flacco all the way. All I know is, man, it's going to be fun to see who ends up starting as a quarterback on this team. But I was surprised that he was stunned that I thought Pickett might be the guy. What do you think?
I think it's interesting, Jeff. I think the perception is different if you're maybe in Cleveland around the team versus at a national level, just because I think the way Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry have talked up Kenny Pickett since they got him in March maybe got ignored or just wasn't on the radar of people outside, you know, the Browns circle. So I take those comments as, hey, they want to see if he can become the starter and look like the guy that was a first-round pick of the Steelers a few years ago and kind of unlock him and see if they can maximize his talents and his potential. So I think outside of the area, people just look at, okay, this is a guy that flamed out in Pittsburgh and then was a backup in Philly, so why would he be the starter? We know what Joe Flacco's resume is. But the Browns view Kenny Pickett as having a higher upside than Joe Flacco because Flacco's 40 years old. So I agree that Pickett would be my pick right now. I understand why he's overlooked by a lot, but I also think you talk about this being a fun or interesting quarterback competition, and I could also see a scenario where Kenny Pickett's not on this team September 1st. So I think it's going to be a really volatile competition where pretty much anything could happen.
Could you see a scenario where the starting quarterback for the next season, 2026, is still playing in college this year too, especially with four guys here right now? I still think they've got an ace sitting underneath the deck here for themselves, knowing that they've got two first round picks next year.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Scenario, Andy. It would be easier for this organization and better for this organization if Pickett, Gabriel, or Sanders look like he would be the guy coming out of 2025, then you don't have to use your first-round pick or picks to get a quarterback. You don't have to go through all the things that they went through this offseason. You know, if you had your quarterback and you had, whatever, two picks in the top 20 or whatever they were, those could become really valuable in a number of ways. But, yeah, if you don't see Kenny Pickett emerge and you don't see either of the rookies look like, okay, this is definitely going to be the guy, then I don't even know it's plan B. Maybe it's plan AA is, yeah, they're positioned, at least right now, to have enough to go get the long-term answer in the 2026 draft.
Scott, I hadn't thought of this before, and I don't think this is anything. You would assume one of these four guys is the starting quarterback this year, right? There's nobody else who could get into this picture?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, Kirk Cousins is, you know, still, I guess, available. I think he's the fallback in Pittsburgh if Aaron Rodgers doesn't wind up signing there. Yeah, I think the Browns know who they're going to have, and those are the four guys.
All right. I'm perplexed by the quarterback situation. I think we all are. But I'm also still wondering what this wide receiver room is going to look like. And you know, are they done? Are they going to have to go out and pick up somebody else? Are we going to be waiting to see if somebody, you know, dumps another wide receiver towards the end of training camp? Just give me your take on the wide receivers right now.
I don't think they can be done. Whether that's somebody, one of the undrafted guys that will be at rookie minicamp this weekend flashes and, okay, maybe he can be, you know, a fourth or fifth guy. Or it's a veteran that's out there. If there's a trade scenario that Andrew Berry has in the back of his mind that he wants to pursue, if it's wait until cuts in September, whatever it is, I don't think the week one receiver rotation is going to be, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Deontay Johnson, Jamari Thrash, and David Bell. It feels like that really needs a significant upgrade to me. You know, I know that they signed Deontay Johnson today. We knew that deal was coming. But there's question marks about him. You know, I mean, he had a terrible year last year on and off the field when we talk about, you know, he got suspended for a game by the Ravens because he refused to go in. He got traded twice and then cut. So I don't think you can just say, okay, yeah, he's going to be back to the Pro Bowl who he was, whatever, 3-4 years ago. So there's tons of question marks at that position, and I think they need to add one or two more guys.
Are you hearing anything about Cedric Tillman?
Well, I mean, I assume he's, you know, I think we asked Kevin Stefanski at the combine, you know, and he's out of protocol and all those things. So I assume he's going to be healthy. You know, he's an interesting one because when he had that 2 or 3 game stretch, right when Jameis Winston took over, he thought, okay, you know, this is what they wanted him to be. And he's a big body target. And you saw flashes when he was a rookie in 2023.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, you know, there's something here. But it just hasn't been sustainable. And last year that was because he had the concussion that knocked him out for the last, whatever it was, 6 or 7 weeks. So he wasn't able to build off that. So I do think there's reasons to be excited about Cedric Tillman, but not where you say, like, he's not a proven commodity. He's far from that right now. And there's just too many of those at the receiving core. You have Jerry Jeudy, who we think we know because first-round pick, the Biletnikoff winner. You saw all that potential. The Browns saw all that talent, and it was realized last year. So I think you can say, okay, he's a legitimate guy, whether he's a one or two, whatever. But after that, like you talked about, you just don't know. And it's got to be pretty worrisome. You know, I think if you're the coaching staff and trying to put together this offense, okay, we're going to be able to, you think, okay, they're going to be able to run the ball. They can throw to their tight ends, but you need some presence on the outside.
I would still try and bring in 2 or 3 of these veteran free agents who are still sitting out there for whatever reason. I'm stunned that they didn't bring in somebody before the draft and sign. Anyhow, I still think they need wide receivers. With that thought in mind, and I've mentioned this guy a couple of times, Isaiah Bond from Texas had big issue come up, you know, legal issue before the draft. The Browns have dealt with Deshaun Watson, dealt with Michael Hall. Now Devin Bush has a situation that he was arrested over the weekend. Do the Browns shy away from guys because of this? You know, I mean, if you need a wide receiver, there's Bond sitting there who was pretty highly thought of. Or you know, where do they draw the line when it comes to some of these off-the-field issues?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jeff. I think as an organization, you probably need to be more careful bringing in somebody that has known issues. And obviously, they said whatever, they didn't care and went and got Deshaun Watson, right? They did their what they said was their research and due diligence. But when you add a guy with those kind of problems, it's different. I think it's a lot different than if that guy's already in your building and something crops up. And I think to take that on with a rookie, and I get it, there's not a lot of risk here because he's, you know, an undrafted guy. You sign him, you know, if you have to cut him in a week, all it is a PR situation. But for him to not be drafted and then not be signed right away, like, there have to be giant red flags about this guy because he's an NFL caliber player.
He sure is.
And you're right. There's not guys that run 4.3 or whatever he ran, right? So that would scare me. I would never rule anything out with the Browns because they've shown the willingness to give second chances and to take chances on guys. You know, we saw what happened with Michael Hall Jr. last year, and they stuck with him and, you know, let him come back, serve a suspension, then play. You know, and I think there might have been some, you know, and he had some issues before the draft, too, and they took a chance on him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it's an individual basis, and maybe their, you know, maybe their research into Bond is, we're not going to touch this guy.
What do you think's going on? Where do you think we are with JOK right now? I know we talked about it initially with the draft when they decided to select Carson Schwessinger from UCLA. Yeah. I'm just, I was kind of hopeful that right before the draft that we talked about, you know, hey, he's in the facility. Like, if you're approaching the season, what are your thoughts with JOK? And do we have any thoughts, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. And the team continues to say that they don't have a timetable and there's nothing definitive there. And they haven't ruled him out. I think if you just look at the moves they made, it gives you the sense that JOK is not going to play this year. They've certainly prepared from a roster move standpoint for him not to play. And there's no bigger sign than that than Schwessinger. I mean, they're similar players. Not that they couldn't play together. But I think if you know JOK is going to play in 2025, that would be one. I don't think they make that move. And Andrew Berry said that's not true, but I'm not sure I believe him, right? I think if you have your stud linebacker and you don't value linebacker that much, are you taking one at 33? I got a hard time believing they do. So, you know, and then it's on top of they re-signed Devin Bush and they brought in Jerome Baker. That's three moves at linebacker when you already had Jordan Hicks and you got a couple young guys and, you know, Bookie Watson and Winston Reed and Mahmoud Diabate that I don't know if they make three additions at that position if there's any comfort level or confidence level that JOK is going to play.
Rookies show up this week. Practice getting going. Yeah. How vital is this? And who might this week be more vital for? Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders?
Well, I think I'm looking at everything through the Sanders glasses. So I'm going to say Sanders because I think he has a chance to immediately close that gap. And I would say there is a gap because they had Gabriel ranked higher.
50 spots higher.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they obviously liked him better. And, you know, part of that could be everything that comes with Shedeur Sanders. Maybe it's not a pure talent thing, but they took Gabriel first. I would assume that he's going to get the first reps at quarterback in rookie minicamp. So I think it's a chance for Shedeur Sanders to close that gap as quick as he can and stand next to him and look bigger and maybe throw it better. I mean, Gabriel's got a pretty good arm, and it's going to be interesting to see who live throws it better because I don't know if we know that for sure. But I do think Sanders has that chance right away to close the gap on the field, but also off it. And, you know, Andrew Berry talked about, hey, you got to come in and prove everything to us, and nothing's going to be given to you. So if Sanders comes in with the right attitude and maybe that right mixture of humility and motivation, I think he can make a really strong first impression at rookie minicamp.
Scott, thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks, Holes.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. You can read all of Scott's work, and he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.